Welcome to all the centers and all of you that have come together to learn and practice the Dhamma. Today we will continue to learn about the highest blessings of our lives. This was a question that all the humans, all the devas, and all the Brahma gods couldn't understand clearly. What is the highest blessing? In the end, Saka, the king of the devas, had the devas ask this question to the Buddha. The Buddha then gave the Dhamma talk on the highest blessings at Jetavana Monastery. It begins with, "Not to associate with fools is the highest blessing of one's life, and to associate with the wise is the highest blessing." So here we ask, who is a wise person? If we talk of the meaning of a wise person, it's a person who leads a life with wisdom, or one who knows the real benefits. This wisdom we are talking about here, we can separate it out firstly with the wisdom that knows how to learn and gain knowledge, that conducts work with honesty, and can progress one's business with prosperity. This is important. If since a young age one is studious, learns from books, and builds one's mindfulness and wisdom up, then one can grow up to be a good person, one who has a habitual level of morality and can do work with sincerity and honesty. But these days, from what we all can see, the world has developed technologically and there are many modern devices such as tablets and smartphones, and children can get deluded in these devices. But the children who are smart, those that have mindfulness and wisdom, they can use these devices in order to learn and study more effectively. But these days, the amount of children that have wisdom have diminished. The material prosperity of the world has made people even more deluded. So those of you who raise and nurture children have to be quite careful and try to develop wisdom within your children. And the wisdom of a higher level is one that can separate and knows right and wrong, good and bad, separate that which is merit and skillful from what is demerit and unskillful, that which leads to one's welfare and that which has drawbacks. When we are proficient at separating things and actions like this, then we are able to teach our children as well, for them to know right and wrong, good and bad, what is for their benefit and disadvantage. If the children aren't born as fools that are deeply entrenched, then they are fools that we can help. And then, since young, they will be wise individuals. They will be able to provide society with well-being and happiness. And the highest wisdom are the ones that can understand the Dhamma clearly. Although these individuals are incredibly few, they still do exist. In our era, those that have wisdom in terms of Dhamma, we have Venerable Ajahn Mun, Venerable Ajahn Chah, who are considered Arahant Bodhisattvas, and there are also many other monks. There are even lay people who have mindfulness and wisdom and can contemplate properly, walk the Noble Eightfold Path and make the mind empty and have much rapture arise in their hearts. They may just see a physical Buddhist object such as a chedi or an Uposatha hall, and they see it as divine and beautiful. They have joy and rapture arising in their heart. They may have their hairs standing on end, inner rapture, tears flowing, or a feeling of fullness in the mind. Why is this? Because their mind is full of merit and in a wholesome state. It may have been a material object that they contributed towards, given in homage to the Buddha. When they see it like this, then their heart becomes joyous and they are walking the Noble Eightfold Path, training in sila, samadhi and banya, morality, concentration and wisdom. There are a lot of lay people like this. And these wise people will know how to lead their life properly. This present life, they know how to be diligent. Since young, they were committed in their studies, then they were earnest in their work. Then they know how to use their wealth appropriately. they make their life firmly established. The wealth that they can gain, they can maintain and not lose it. They can associate with good friends. They consume money in a modest way, not extravagantly. They have more income than expenses. They keep money for future times of sickness, and they have money to look after their wife and children. And these wise people have faith to give part of their wealth to renunciants, monks and nuns, so that they can learn and practice to develop wisdom and to support them to gain Nibbana. This is for our own benefit and the benefit of others. This person who practices this way is called a wise person. They are imbued with wisdom. And a wise person like this gains appropriate Pali names, a Saparissa, those who can overcome their mental defilements, a Metti, those who have wisdom, or they could be referred to as a Muni, a sage, one who is restrained, one who talks little. A layperson or a as yet unattained monk can be a Muni, a sage. That is, they have a mind that is restrained, they talk little. Or a wise individual can be called a Vinyuchana. They have Dhamma in the mind consistently. From the outside, you might not be able to tell, but the outside is one thing, the inside is another thing. On the inside, they have Dhamma, loving kindness and compassion, but on the outside, their actions could be another way. Here, Venerable Ajahn Chah, a wise person, or named the Zen Master in the northeast of Thailand, taught us on this. On the outside, his actions could be one way, angry and scolding, but on the inside, his mind was really cool. He didn't always teach the monks and novices in a way that was soft-spoken all the time. Sometimes he could scold and speak harshly. There was once when the monks and novices had drunk some coffee and didn't pack up the flasks. Venerable Ajahn Chah saw this and used his cane to smash the flask until it went flying. He shouted out that, "You know how to drink and eat, but you don't know how to pack up." He was really scolding and loud, that even 30 meters away it was heard very clearly. The flask smashed around, but in Venerable Ajahn Chah's heart he didn't have anything. He entered the eating hall and smiled as if nothing had happened. But that day the monks and novices were so tense that they couldn't eat properly. All the monks in the monastery felt the same way. Here, Venerable Ajahn Chah was a Muni, a sage as well. On the outside he spoke one way, and on the inside his heart was another way. He had special Dhamma. He was a Vinyuchana, a wise person, and he was an Arahant Bodhisattva. So how would we know who is a wise person? Which person is wise, who is not a wise person? A wise person means one imbued with wisdom. They have thoughts that are good as normal. We can see that in our own minds there are good thoughts as well as bad thoughts. The wise will think of only good things. They have good cells that connect up in their brain that grow and become an expansive system of good cells. They have millions and millions of these types of cells. They just have good thoughts. If it is the highest type of wise person, then they will only have the best thoughts. But going down from this level, other wise persons might still have some bad thoughts, but they can let them go and bring it back to good thoughts. So when we have good thoughts, then we will have good actions. We won't kill living beings. We have metta, loving kindness. We have compassion. We see the life of others like our own lives. We wouldn't steal the wealth of others because their wealth is like our own wealth. If anyone stole our wealth, we wouldn't like it. So we can't steal from others. We do work honestly in a way that doesn't harm others. We do no wrong in terms of morality and virtue, and do no bad karma. We have contentment in love and relationships, and in terms of our speech, we speak the truth. This is because wise people like the truth and they don't like false speech. They speak to bring harmony. If people don't understand each other, they bring them together. They speak pleasant speech, which has benefit, and in a way that the wise won't criticize them. In their hearts, imbued with mindfulness, they don't look for faults in others, but instead they have a mind of friendliness and love for others. They have right view. It is sometimes the nature of the mind to send one's thoughts out and to find fault with others, but with mindfulness, they bring the mind back from these tendencies. They aren't a wise person all the time, with every mind moment, but at the times they know they aren't wise, then they try to bring back their mindfulness. Sometimes they may do something wrong, and they have a wise person who knows and tells them to do things differently. Hearing their reprimand and advice, they will accept this truth from a wise person, and they'll be happy to change and do things in a better way. Wise people will listen to advice given by everyone. In this way, they are people that everyone likes and loves. The wise people know and follow rules and proper conduct. They maintain this well. Wise people have minds that are filled with loving kindness and compassion, with intentions to help others, to build goodness and follow the right way. They will help to make their children be diligent, be competitive, advise them properly in work, help them to grow mindfulness and wisdom, and to conduct themselves in a way appropriate for their status. When one has wise people as friends, then they are friends who will give one great benefit. If a friend is heedless, the wise friend will help them out. If they are in danger, they will come to one's assistance. The wise friend is someone who can be relied on in times of happiness and sadness. They don't abandon their friends in times of difficulties, and at the highest level, they could even sacrifice their own life for their friends. And when their friends fall to a lower path, the wise friend will help them not go down this path, but bring them back to a virtuous path. This is a friend who helps show them what is for their welfare. And the wise friend is one who is considerate to them as well. If their friends receive criticism, they try to help. If their friends receive good things, then they rejoice with them. This type of wise person is like a close relative and a loved friend. They are someone hard to find. If we can get close to this type of wise person, we will have happiness. Because we all inherently want to have happiness, then we have to find and associate with wise people like this. And as we want to have wisdom and be ourselves wise people, so we need to associate with friends who are wise people. The Buddha taught us that if we have no good friends, then it's better to be alone. At least we won't be worse off then. We can look at Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana. They were both wise people. They cherished each other as beloved friends. They would do things together. They ordained together as spiritual seekers. And after going their separate ways to seek the Dhamma, they promised to each other that whoever sees the Dhamma will quickly go and tell the other. This is amazing. Venerable Sariputta listened to the Dhamma from Venerable Asaji Thera, and the eye of Dhamma arose within him. Venerable Asaji Thera was going to teach further, but Venerable Sariputta said, "Stop. I will tell this Dhamma to my friend first, because I have promised that whoever sees the Dhamma will tell the other." If he heard more Dhamma, he would have become an arahant, but he couldn't. He said, "Enough, enough." He had to tell his friend first. He had found a great, excellent thing that he had to share with his friend. Something that he had searched for so long. He loved his friend as if they had one heart. He was a true friend, a friend who brings one great benefit. He was a friend in both happiness and suffering, a friend that shows one benefit, a friend who is considerate of the other. Both of them were wise people. They were both excellent in the worldly sense, having high intelligence and knowledge, but also excellent in Dhamma. That is, their hearts were imbued with Dhamma. when we talk of a wise person in terms of Dhamma, the wise person will have faith in karma, in good and bad actions, of right and wrong. The wise will fully believe in karma. We may witness that sometimes there may be people who do something wrong or do a bad, harmful action and still have good come to them. They may succeed through cheating others, and we may ask how come they are still fine and good. It is just that their karma hasn't fruited yet. If we believe in karma, we have to look at it with a long-term perspective. If the person who has done bad actions is lucky, then they will receive the unpleasant results in this life. This is because then it may at least make them believe in the law of karma and they'll be able to change. But sometimes they must receive the unpleasant results in their next life. But we ourselves should be confident that the law of karma really exists. Wise people believe in good and bad karma. They put effort in learning, they establish mindfulness in building goodness, and have the wisdom to see what is right. And then when we look at the highest wise person in the universe, higher than all the humans, devas, and Brahma gods, then there is no one higher than the Buddhas and Pacheka Buddhas. Going one step down are the right and left hand chief disciples of the Buddha, Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana. Then the 80 highest Arahant disciples of the Buddha. And then all those that became awakened after the Buddha. In our present era, we have respect and homage for Venerable Ajahn Mun and Venerable Ajahn Chah, the Arahant Bodhisattva. There are many others too that have great mindfulness and wisdom. For example, the Arahant Bodhisattva Chi Gong, who had great wisdom, which one can learn from his biography. So the wise Buddhist people can contemplate the Buddha's teachings on dependent origination, the causal links to suffering. Even the Heart Sutra of the Mahayana tradition contain the same teachings on dependent origination. The ones new to the practice may not be able to understand into it, but those with wisdom can contemplate it and see for themselves. The ordinary human being sees all things as being permanent, as happiness, as a self, and as something beautiful. But those with wisdom aren't deluded like this. They see all things as impermanent, suffering, not a self, and not beautiful. Even if we can see into this truth sometimes, or just see with wisdom for a short moment, even in the time it takes for an elephant to flap its ears or for a snake to flick its tongue, we will gain profound benefits from this. So you all must practice to become a wise person yourselves through consistently associating with the external wise people and the wise person inside of oneself, that is one's own heart. We should get to know, befriend, and be close to those who are wise. We should be good friends to each other and have love and respect for one another. Sometimes we may have differences in views and opinions, but we don't argue out of differences and can put issues down. Then we can go together in life. We can take the friendship of Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana, the right and left-hand chief disciples of the Buddha, as our example. Associating with the wise has lots of benefits. Venerable Ajahn Chah said, some Dhamma practitioners, they have small spiritual development, small wisdom, but they stay close to a wise person and they'll develop quickly in their Dhamma practice. But others who have a high spiritual development and high wisdom, but stay far from a wise person, may progress slowly in their Dhamma practice. So by staying close to a wise person, even if we aren't wise ourselves, we can develop higher wisdom and quickly as well. In one important sutta, Venerable Ananda said to the Buddha that to associate with wise people is half of the holy life. But the Buddha said, "Don't say that, Ananda. To associate with wise people is the whole of the holy life." And the Buddha is the highest of wise people. wise people will lead us to meet with good things. Another example in the time of the Buddha was Suddhata, or widely known as the wealthy merchant Anatta Pindika. When he went to find his friend in Rajagir city, his friend was a wise person. Usually, his friend would give a warm welcome to him, but on this particular day, he didn't. On being asked the reason, his friend said that he didn't have time to welcome him as usual because he was preparing to offer the Buddha a meal the next day. And Anatta Pindika had the chance to meet the Buddha the next day and listen and see the Dhamma and become a Sotapanna, a stream enterer. Wise people will help each other in times of need, giving them support and assistance. Any obstacles their friends meet, they will help to overcome it. So we need to find external wise people as well as the wise person internally. On the outside, we associate with wise people, and on the inside, it is our own heart. When we have this wise person internally, then other people who are looking for wise people will come together and associate with us. It becomes like well-loved relatives. We help each other to build parami, spiritual development, merit and goodness through generosity, morality, and mental development. Then we prosper and support each other in this world and have happiness in the present. When we die from this world, we will have happiness in the future destination. Or at the highest level, we can attain to become a noble being, or we can build our spiritual potential like a lotus expanding and growing and gaining more levels. So this talk has been about the second highest blessing, to associate with wise people, given from the Mangala Sutta that the Buddha gave in Jetavana Monastery to tens of thousands of world systems. May you learn and practice from this. May you all grow in Dhamma and in blessings.